right now on VFN TV, we're going to go to the White House where President Donald Trump is meeting with Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. A powerful declaration is going to be made from the White House. It's going to bless you. Also, we're going to go to the White House again and listen to Kentucky Governor Bevins as he calls for the press and the government to really deal with the heart of the situation, of the violence that's been taking place in the shootings and the things that are taking place in America. And finally, we got a success secret about the millennials. It's very encouraging right now on VFN TV.
Welcome to VFN TV and the daily VFN radio program where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome, welcome to VFN TV. I'm Greg Lancaster, and joining me is John Ramos.
Hello.
Hey, I just want to say,
yes,
we want to say, we always want to let you know how grateful and thankful we are that you're joining us here. We call, even it's like our community or yes, really like a tribe when you think
tribe
about it. It's so important, you know, where you're hearing news from. You know, we have over, you know, over 5 years of resourced information so that you can actually not only talk about things, but you can talk about it with evidence.
Facts.
You know, facts and the DNA of a story. And that's so important because today you're finding out that the you know mainstream media, they're trying to push, you know, narratives that are not true. There's no DNA to a lie. Or no,
well, they remove posts, remove stories.
Yeah, and we prophesied about that, you know, because a prophetic man that spoke to us, spoke to me, about that God was going to be replacing the anchors, the news anchors, because of all the stories. And that was prophesied over through Pastor John Kilpatrick, Church of His Presence, that the people are going to get so tired of hearing about lies. All they want to hear is truth. Mm. As a matter of fact, we'll be talking about that today as well. But listen, in the White House, President Donald Trump and Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu are talking together, and they're talking specifically about, you know, the 70th year anniversary is going to be in May of 2018, and that the United States Embassy is going to move from Tel Aviv to the true eternal capital of Israel, Jerusalem, on the same 70th year anniversary. And they're talking about, you know, building the embassy there, you know, that it's going to cost $1 billion. And you go, I can do it for $250,000.
Well, this is the first time that the prime minister has been in Washington, D.C.
since that.
Our nation's capital, since President Trump has declared Jerusalem as the eternal capital. So it's huge significance.
And I want you to listen carefully to Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, what he says. He's going to speak historically. He's going to go back to 2,500 years, all the way up to President Donald Trump and what God has done right now through our president, the president of the United States. Check it out.
Thank you very much. It's a great honor to have Prime Minister Netanyahu and Mrs. Netanyahu with us. They've been friends for a long time. We have, I would say, probably the best relationships right now with Israel that we ever had. I think we're as close now as maybe ever before. Jerusalem was a wonderful thing, and I know it was very much appreciated in a big part of the world, not just in Israel, in a very big part. So that was a decision that I had to make. Many presidents were discussing whether or not to make that decision, and they promised it in their campaigns, but they never were able to do what they should have done. So I was able to do it, and I think it's something that's very much appreciated in Israel, but far beyond Israel. We are very close on trade deals. We are very, very close on military and terrorism and all of the things that we have to work together on. So the relationship has never been better. And Mr. Prime Minister, Mrs. Netanyahu, it's a great honor to have you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Ms. President, Donald, Melania, Sarah and I want to thank you for your extraordinary friendship and hospitality. It's always a pleasure to see you both, but this is the first time we meet in Washington, America's capital, after you declared, Mr. President, Jerusalem as Israel's capital. And this was a historic proclamation, followed by your bold decision to move the embassy by our upcoming National Independence Day. I want to tell you that the Jewish people have a long memory. So we remember the proclamation of the great king, Cyrus the Great, Persian king, 2,500 years ago. He proclaimed that the Jewish exiles in Babylon can come back and rebuild our temple in Jerusalem. We remember 100 years ago, Lord Balfour, who issued the Balfour Proclamation that recognized the rights of the Jewish people in our ancestral homeland. We remember 70 years ago, President Harry S. Truman was the first leader to recognize the Jewish state. And we remember how a few weeks ago, President Donald J. Trump recognized Jerusalem as Israel's capital. Mr. President, this will be remembered by our people throughout the ages. And as you just said, others talked about it. You did it. So I want to thank you on behalf of the people of Israel.
This is so exciting, isn't it?
This is amazing. Yeah. This is so encouraging because in the previous administration, there was this hostile approach towards Israel, even poking Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu in the chest, and just to see.
Yes, he poked him in the chest.
I mean, really, just to see this change, and for the President of the United States to say, this is the best relationship we've had with Israel ever, is huge, significant.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, get Angry Birds ready, because I want you to see this. But I know this one particular thing that was said, it's 43:26 here, you know, when he's talking specifically about relationship, he said, you know, we have the best relationship. Here, put up 43:26. He said, we have the best relationship right now with Israel that we've ever had. Mm. That is so important. It's not like just, you know, two friends doing something.
Right.
You know, it's just like it's Israel and America. And when you see Angry Birds, you're going to be blown away at how different things are and they change. Also, let's go over that quote. I mean, specifically what Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu said. It was like powerful.
It's so powerful because the Prime Minister measures his words. When he speaks, he speaks things that absolutely count. He knows
communicates
exactly.
Really well.
He's an excellent communicator. And this is what he said.
Right there with the President. This is what he declared.
In the Oval Office, I want to tell you that the Jewish people have a long memory. So we remembered the proclamation of the great King Cyrus, the great Persian king, 2,500 years ago. He proclaimed that the Jewish exiles in Babylon could come back and rebuild our temple in Jerusalem. We remember 100 years ago, Lord Balfour, who issued the Balfour Declaration that recognized the right of the Jewish people in our ancestral homeland. We remember over 70 years ago, President Harry S. Truman, who was the first leader who recognized the Jewish state. And we remember just a few weeks ago, President Donald J. Trump recognized Jerusalem and Israel's capital. Mr. President, this will be remembered by our people throughout the ages.
So you're talking about King Cyrus 2,500 years ago. You're talking about Balfour. And then you're talking about 70 years ago with President Truman. And
what a great company.
This is how significant. It's literally an eternal type thing. It makes me think about the prophecy that Pastor John Kilpatrick gave at the beginning of this administration, not in it. And he spoke specifically about what God was doing with our president and with Israel and why he was putting generals around Israel, because some real dark clouds are forming, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu says, over Israel with the enemy trying to come in. But God is going to protect Israel, and America's going to stand with Israel. But listen to the prophetic word given by Pastor John Kilpatrick about this very day.
I was riding along the highway last Thursday evening. I was engaged in a conversation by cell phone with my administrator regarding budget matters. As I was listening to her answer a question, I heard Holy Spirit interrupt me and said, "How do you spell Truman?" I thought for a moment, and I said, T-R-U-M-A-N. He then said, "How do you spell Trump?" And I said, T-R-U-M-P. I immediately made the connection. He proceeded to ask me, who did President Truman lean on to help get the Jews back in the Holy Land? I said, General Eisenhower. The Lord said to me, I have raised up Trump, and I am also giving him generals to help defend my people, the Jews, to keep them in their homeland. What was will be again. He then asked me, how do you spell truth? I said, T-R-U-T-H. The Lord said, he's changing the appetites of people. Instead of the public now rejoicing in rumors, they will now become excited to hear the truth again. They will develop a love for the truth and reject the lies as well as the liars. This will not be true of everyone in every place, but a shift has already happened. Truth had fallen in the streets, but I tell you, I'm lifting it up again, and it shall cause great rejoicing. I, the Lord, have done this by my own power, by my right arm of might, and by my justice. Give God praise. Hallelujah.
This is so important. Prophecy is God telling us history in advance. And this was given, you know, Amos chapter 3, verse 7 says, God does nothing unless he reveals it through his prophets first. And this prophetic word came at the beginning of the administration. God spoke to Pastor John Kilpatrick, Church of His Presence, and John Kilpatrick Ministries, you know, during that time. And now you're seeing that come to pass. And that you can take courage in that. As a matter of fact, right now, you know, we want to hear from you in our community. Comment below, write to us. This should just excite you. Understand the adversary of God and the people that are against God and God's people. If you're against God's people, you're against God. Understand this, that they're not going to be happy. But what do you want to do? Do you want to be on the right side of the just side, the side that the creator of the universe wants you to be on? Or are you going to join, you know, the side that's not going to make it? I mean, if you look prophetically, there will be people trying to come against Israel, but God's going to deal with them abruptly. And it's going to appear... It always appears the adversary looks like they're going to succeed. Even they believe. But look at history. It over and over and over again, they really believed that they were going to destroy God's people. And every time, to this day, they have failed. And but people like the Prime Minister of Great Britain.
Theresa May?
No, that run during that time, during World War II.
Oh, Neville Chamberlain.
But the one that replaced Neville Chamberlain.
Winston Churchill,
we got it. He had to stand up. He had to stand up and declare in the midst it looked like they were going to be destroyed.
All alone.
And, you know, Great Britain's an island. And so this thing was coming in from everywhere. And they kept on getting on the phone and trying to get, you know, our president.
FDR, Franklin Delano Roosevelt,
you know, come on, get involved. And you know what? If America would not have gotten involved, Great Britain wouldn't be there today. That's how significant the force and the blessing that God's put on America to be able to stand with Israel, and then those two powers standing together, that's amazing, you know, what's taking place right now. So we want to hear from you. You should be encouraged, you know, share your thoughts about that, how exciting this is, and, you know, and comment below, write to us and email us. John?
Listen, the president just met with all the governors in the White House to discuss this violence that's occurring in the schools and the shootings. And Governor of Kentucky, Matt Bevins, had some amazing things to share regarding the morality of our nation and what's the real issue. When we get back from this break, you are going to be so blessed. Don't forget to join us.
We'll be right back.
So my son came to me, and she came to me, and we launched this vision of Kids on the Mall in D.C. And 7 months before the gathering, my 12-year-old boy had come to me, and he said, Dad, I had a dream. And in the dream, there were two gangs fighting, a devil gang and a God gang. And he said, I went to the leader of the God gang and said, how old do you have to be a part of the God gang? And the leader said, the rules have changed. It used to be 21, but now it's 12. He said, Dad, what does it mean? I said, son, I think you're to be about your father's business at age 12. Tithe your teenage years to God and don't waste them.
Well, listen, I want to tell you about this. You know, we are excited to tell you we have launched VFN TV's YouTube channel. We are out there. We had people request it. I'm very excited about it. You know, you can simply go to it by going to VFNTV.com and click on YouTube, or you can go to YouTube.com/VFNTV. But I wanted you to know that we are out there in YouTube. We have an audience now that stretches all around the world that's joined us in other ways as well. And we thank you for watching, and you can subscribe to us. As a matter of fact, you know, you can go there and check from time to time about new, because almost every day new content's coming out there. But one way to make sure that you be notified that content is happening is you go there and you press the button subscribe. You can see that button here probably. Just press that button. It doesn't cost you nothing. It's just a thing that happens. and then you'll be notified every time new materials put up on the YouTube channel. That's right, VFN TV. We're now on YouTube. It's youtube.com/VFNTV, or just go to VFNTV.com and click on YouTube.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. This is, you know, when you see these tragedies going on, John, and it's just so devastating to see that. But what's more devastating, and we'll be having, you know, Benjamin Watson on, you'll hear from him, because he just nails it. Yeah, the issue is, you know, if you take God out of the schools, out of prayer, out of schools, God out of your community, you take the Ten Commandments out, the very, you know, one of the specific Ten Commandments, only ten, one of them is thou shalt not kill.
Yeah.
And then we see, John, people buying games for their kids that's all about killing, like Grand Theft Auto. Yeah. We've talked about that before. We've shown it. You can't even tell the difference between is that real or is that not real.
I'm watching these movies that glorify murder and crime and just killings, and it's crazy.
There used to be ratings that would prevent that, but now the children are seeing from the beginning of their minds being molded, and people are addicted to that.
We're shocked when school shootings and things of this horrific nature happen at a school or anywhere else.
Well, I think about this. You know, a father would sit there every day and play Grand Theft Auto or something like that in front of his kids, and they're seeing that, and then sends their kids to school who with kids that are doing what he's doing, and is surprised that what he's doing in his own home, in the presence of his own family, it doesn't manifest in the schools and in the government, in the community place. And it's like, we've got to make a decision, you know, are we going to do it? We can't do it ourselves. Understand, this is very important. It's not about mentally figuring this out. It's about us turning to God and say, God, you know, we went wrong. This is wrong what we're doing, and we need your help to come out of this. Because you can't make yourself right, but you can begin to turn to God and begin to make more righteous laws and begin to say, you know what, if you're going to keep a terrorist out of America, why not keep games out that have terrorism in there? You know, somebody going around shooting constantly. So this is Governor Bevin.
From Kentucky.
From Kentucky. He's a great governor. The things he's doing is amazing.
Yeah, he shares even before that, you know, as when he went to high school, that a bunch of the students brought guns to school. It's just a different culture, a different time.
It's not the gun. It's what's in the heart.
It's in the heart.
They brought you in Kentucky, you know, being that state. But I think they're the first state with no abortion clinics in it. They have one more left, I think, in that particular state.
It's going to be a blessed
state. It's going to be a blessed state. But let's hear what all the, like John said, there's governors packed in this place in the dining room in the White House. The President, Donald Trump, is listening to getting feedback from the leaders that you chose over your state to be able to get some feedback and bless, you know, Governor Bevin's heart as he stands up and says, come on now. This is the real deal. We're really going to do something about it. Let's go to the White House now.
Question? Yes, Matt. I don't beg to differ with most of what has been said here, but most of what we're talking about are things that are costly, have monetary cost. I do think it's important for us to start at every level with your office, with our respective offices as well, to seize the bully pulpits that we have to talk about the culture in this society. And I would challenge those in the media who would want to mock and ridicule this and would want to say that anybody who advocates for this, to find some fault in that person as a reason why that person should not be the one advocating for a higher level of moral authority or higher mores, to think twice, because these are your children and grandchildren as well. And when we mock and ridicule the very foundational principles that this nation was built upon, where you treat people the way you'd want to be treated, where you respect human life, where you respect the dignity of women and of children and of people who we have increasingly degraded in our society. This culture of death is becoming pervasive. And if it's not addressed by all the imperfect people in this room with a sense of purpose and a sense of aspiration, I think we're going to see a continued trajectory that's not good. Many things have not changed. There have always been guns, and there were fewer restrictions. There have always been guns in homes and fewer rules. It isn't to say that these rules and these restrictions are necessarily bad. But what has changed is what we do or don't do as it relates to acknowledging the value and the dignity of every human life. And when you couple that with the number of psychiatric drugs that are increasingly systemic and that have very severe warnings associated with them related to depression and suicidal thoughts. You put all these things in a mess, and no one among us is bold enough or willing to step up and challenge the fact that this is a problem. This is why it goes unchecked. And I would call on you, sir, as I'm calling on my fellow governors and myself, to seize the opportunities we have to call America to higher action as it relates to our mores.
Good.
Thank you.
Thank you, man. And that's why we're here. And I think, you know, I don't know if it's going to be mentioned, but you have to also look at videos. They're vicious. You look at some of these videos. I mean, I don't know what this does to a young kid's mind, somebody growing up and forming and looking at videos where people are just being blown away left and right. The internet, movies. You look at these movies that are out today. I see just by a commercial the level of craziness and viciousness in the movies. I think we have to look at that, too. Maybe we have to put a rating system on that. They have a rating system for other subjects. Maybe we have to do a rating system for that. But it has to have an impact on – it doesn't take many minds. If it was 1% or less, that's a lot. It's all it takes. It just takes one person to do tremendous damage. So I think it's something we have to look at also.
This is crazy, some of the things that we're allowing and that we're doing. I remember the shooting that took place at the Navy base in Washington where – this one man was addicted to playing games of shooting and killing people.
He played for so many hours, he had people bring him food while he was playing.
As he's killing folks virtually, they were bringing him food, and it was just a tragedy. But the next day, after this guy went through this complex, like the game would be, you walk through a hallway, and he starts just shooting people. But he was really doing it. It wasn't a game. He was murdering people at the Navy base in Washington. That the next day, I believe it was, the company that owns the guns, owns the games. Listen, the issue is not a gun issue. The issue is the game and the visual issue. But they actually released the new version of it, billions of dollars worth of
hundreds
games.
Hundreds of millions, yes.
Hundreds of millions of dollars the next day. And it's like we're continually feeding this culture of death to our folks. And I remember when I was in law enforcement that we had to train with videos to get us set to know how to react. And we would, you know, virtually shoot. So we were ready to actually shoot the bad guy and not shoot the good guy. And then if we didn't do that, you know, officers didn't train. Under World War I was the same way.
I was going to ask you about that.
Yeah, World War I, you know, they couldn't get the average American to pull the trigger to shoot because there was just, it was so hard to take life. So World War II, what they did, reports are, they put them in the virtual situation where they're seeing, you know, somebody and they're practicing shooting the bad guy. No problem in World War II. Now imagine every single day, John. Every day, fathers, sons, maybe some daughters, and they keep saying, "This is no big deal." This, look. If just think about this, if you stop playing that game, and that prevented the next school shooting, isn't that worth you giving up this lust for murder? Yeah. And lust for what you want in your life? But I mean, think about that. There's other games.
Take it a step further. If it's not that bad, then would you still play the game if you put your loved one's face on that character that you're shooting?
Because someone's loved
one. That's right.
Yes.
Would you put your mother's face, your son, your daughter's face on
children
there?
Children in their schools in Sandy Hook or in down in South Florida that just took
Parkland,
place.
Yeah.
Parkland shootings. When you think about that, these kids are watching those, playing those games. They're getting it inside their DNA, and which means they're thinking it all the time. And ever how a man thinks he is in his heart,
So is he.
So if you're seeing yourself murdering someone every day, and all of a sudden you have a bad day, bad week, you lose your money, you lose your family, you lose all this kind of stuff, or somebody's bullying you, you know, then all of a sudden, what's inside of you? Murder. You know, and if you hated someone in your heart, that's murder. So if you're already hating what's going on and you got murder in you, the issue, just like Governor Bevin's saying, it is not the guns. It's what we're teaching or allowing to take place. And it's a tough thing to make righteous decisions, but isn't it worth, instead of boarding our schools up and making single places of entry and bulletproof windows, let's start dealing with the heart. Let's start saying, you know what, God, we have gone astray. You know, you tell us right up front, you know, we took the Ten Commandments out, but
let's bring
that?
The Ten Commandments back. Let's bring prayer back. Yeah. And let's invite God back into our schools. Maybe we won't see these issues.
And it's not like the Ten Suggestions. I mean, the Creator of the universe is saying, you'll do good if you'll make my values your priorities.
That's right.
You know, and we try to live up to that, but there was less murder. And
it's a fact.
Yeah.
It's a fact.
So I just want to encourage you right now. You comment below, write to us, let us know your thoughts on this. Also, give a shout out as you're commenting to Governor Bevin's taking the stand. And let me tell you this, if you, in your state, this can be done. The barrier, the 4-minute mile has already been broken in Kentucky. In Kentucky, because of Governor Bevin and all the people that are there that are in agreement with this, they now teach the Bible in the schools.
Public schools.
The public schools. So everybody, you know, I've heard superintendents tell me, oh, that would be hard. If you do that, then Satan's going to teach. Like, who's going to be better? Who's going to be bigger? God's bigger than Satan. Don't not teach the kids and the young people about the, if you can put God in your, if you can start an elective in your school where you can teach the Word of God and the kids can choose whether they're going, that's happening in Kentucky. Imagine what it's going to be like when you stand before God and you didn't lift up your office. And you say, God, I knew the answer was you. We put the word in there. Yeah. We weren't fearful what's going on.
Don't miss your opportunity.
Yeah, because you know your office is going to be, you're going to be done in 4 years, 2 years, 3 years.
That's right.
But you're going to spend eternity saying, you know, what did you do when I allowed you to be in that position of leadership as a governor, as a school superintendent, on a school board, and you were so fearful of lawsuits and what's going on and fearful of the devil. It's like, listen,
fear God.
Look what the devil's going to do. God always wins. So challenge your leaders. You know, for VFNKB, we talk about the government mountain. Begin to call your leaders and say, if Kentucky did it, then my state can do it. My governor can do it. You know, our school superintendent do it. Just find out what they did and duplicate it. So comment below, write to us, let us know. And this is a very, very honest moment. You know, I can't wait to hear Benjamin Watson. He just nails this thing. It's a hard issue. How can you know God's not some celestial, you know, slot machine or something, he says, you know, that all of a sudden you push him out of schools, but now crisis hits. And you're going to call on him. Yeah, he answers in a time of crisis, but you know, we're going out of time. We don't have any time left to be. Listen, write to us, let us know. I want to pray with you right now. Father God, I thank you, Father God, for each and every one of the people that are in our community. God, touch their marriages, Lord. Help them get the courage to remove these kind of things from their home that's producing a spirit of murder, culture of murder in their home and in their things they have authority over, Father God. Lord, I pray for new ways, not to hold back guns, to hold back the bad news that's going into the hearts of man, Father God, and that we would keep our freedoms, Father God. And I pray right now for comfort for those who have lost loved ones because of this murdering spirit in the land, Father God. We pray, Lord, that you heal us, forgive us, Lord. And we decree and we declare by faith that abortion has ended in America, revival is here, and the third great awakening is here. In Jesus' name, God bless.
I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you've joined us. Don't forget you can join us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Download our app and sign up for our newsletter, The Torch, at VFNTV.com. I've enjoyed our time together. God bless.
You know, there's something about when you first get saved, that the first thing that most people think about is like, there's nobody like me. And you're very thankful. You're grateful that God has forgiven you, but you're not sharing with anybody because you look at everybody else. And you think, well, obviously all these folks are walking on water.
Yeah, right.
I mean, they talk about like these books, they got the books memorized, you know, they got like this book of Malachi and, you know, Matthew and Jonathan, you know, whatever. They are. And so, you know, they're just like, oh my goodness. And the greatest thing that we can do for each other is to tell them our story.
That's right.
To let them know, you know, we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. People get hope when they find out you needed Jesus too.
That's right.
They get hope when they find out you're a sinner too, saved by grace, that God reached down in the depths of hell and darkness and just great calamity and all your attempts to find yourself. And he introduced his father through himself to you when you got saved. Sharing your story. Everybody's got a story.
That's right.
And we share a few of them. We share a few of them with you at meetmyfather.org. Listen, the whole purpose of Jesus' ministry was to make the Father known. That's our purpose. And our ministry is to make the Father known to you through his son, Jesus Christ. Listen, get to know God through his awesome, awesome son, Jesus Christ. Go to meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet my father. Meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him.